Hey, y'all are listening to Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with all those who win awards and all those who are listening to this to kill some time because they're bored. You're here with your hosts, Paul and Adrian, as always. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No cap.
Adrian, I think I found what's going to be my drink of the summer. I don't know if the New York Times or like Variety or whatever publications put out a drink of the summer. Bon appetit.
Doing a spaghetti again?
Yeah, I don't know if they're all going to agree on this, but I think a gin fizz is. I started making them last night, and I was like, this is a great drink to make yourself. It tastes so lemony and yummy, and it's so fresh. It's going to be so great for the summer. So I think I've landed on what's going to be my drink of the summer.
My drink of the summer is Liberal Tears.
Oh, you are going through your epic-based phase.
Mm-hmm. I garnish it with a lime wedge.
Hmm. I would have thought that was more like a curled orange peel sort of thing floating on top, but...
Nah.
Wait, no. Liberal Tears are definitely a very manly drink, so you definitely have that thing where there's like something inverted on it, and you take it off, and there's smoke that you get to see pour out.
Ooh, my mom does love that with an old fashioned.
Your mom likes that gimmick?
Yeah, she loves it. Her favorite old fashioned is at Trevinia's in Lexington, South Carolina, but she'll also accept one from Bonefish Grill.
I didn't realize your mom was so picky. Also, I'm a fan of Bonefish Grill, too. They give you such perfect portions.
They really do. It's a great place. Yeah. I go there with my parents quite a bit when I'm back at home. It's a good pre-movie dinner.
Oh, yeah, because it's right next to Columbiana.
Yeah, and like you said, the portions are good, so you're not going into your movie sleepy or whatever.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You're not getting like a big sloppy Italian dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not getting way too much Mongolian food in a stir fry.
Oh, my God, dude, that Mongolian place isn't there anymore.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That was the place where
who got
I
rid
went
of
with
Hoo-ha?
Justin... I think it's Kiki's now.
Who, what,
I think,
when, where
location.
Got rid of Hoo Hut?
But I don't think Kiki's was the first, nor the last, to take out Hoo Hut.
Wait, Kiki's is... Wow, Kiki's really... Like, they kept expanding.
Wait, it's just the two locations, right?
Well, the second location of Kiki's was definitely not in Hoo Hut. It was, like, down the street from the first location, but just in a much bigger building.
Wait, did they relocate? I wouldn't call that, like...
Oh, they relocated? I guess so, yeah.
Well, they didn't relocate.
Was it after the Biden visit or after the Barack Obama visit that they got big enough that Kiki's had to relocate?
I don't know if there's a direct causation there, brother, but I don't know if this is an interesting conversation.
Yes, it is. All our Columbia heads are ravished right now.
All
enraptured.
I wanted to say, well, actually, now I have two things to say. One, were you there the time that we went to Hoo Hot with Justin and the waitress asked what he wanted to drink and he asked if they had milk?
I know I went to Hoo Hot with you two, but this might have been two different occurrences.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I don't know. There was like, it's one of those things where the embarrassment, I guess this is like an ongoing trend with Justin, because I told you the Bats Cafe story where we all got this like, they're like special things, the Calabash chicken, and you can do one where it comes with wings too. And they were like, do you want it tossed in a sauce or whatever? And like, do you want it tossed? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it in buffalo. And Phil was like, yeah, can I get the same thing? And can I get tossed in a barbecue or something? And then he goes to Justin, he's like, Justin's like, I'm gonna have the same thing. And the waiter's like, do you want it tossed? And he's like, yeah. And then just is silent. And he's like, and I was like, you want him to just toss him in the air, Justin? Give him a fucking sauce to put on those. And even the waiter started laughing at Justin. But yeah, secondhand embarrassment of him asking for milk at a Mongolian restaurant. I don't know why. Was he trying to like bulk up that or something? Was he trying to build strong bones? The other thing that made me think about what you were saying, or what you triggered in my memory. This is an immediate roundup. Come on now. I'm drinking those Liberal Tears. I'm drinking my own.
It's convenient when you are a lib and you also are based.
Two uncommon gents, which is a podcast from two Columbia Florence based stand-ups that I know, and I'm not gonna lie, I did enjoy their 20-minute conversation about what they did and didn't like about Art Bar in Columbia, South Carolina. Like, I was like, if we did this on our podcast, I would cut it, but I kind of like when they do it.
That's funny. I mean, we've left in a lot of talk of Rush's for us to be like, oh yeah, we would cut it out if it was too inside baseball.
Ah, but Rush's is beautiful. That needs to be spread to the world. Mm.
You know what was another Lexington thing that I assume lots of places had this, but every time I've never had anybody, anytime I mention it, be able to relate. The cafeteria, the Kmart cafeteria that wasn't like a different store. It was just a Kmart branded cafeteria where old people would go get breakfast. They would just serve pancakes and eggs and shit.
Wait, what?
Yeah, in the big K, there was a little cafeteria. I think by the time we were in high school, it was shut down or it wasn't open, but they still had like the chairs.
It was a Nathan's Hot Dogs for a while.
Maybe later, but for a while, it was just a generic cafeteria, like no brand name. Like it wasn't like a small Starbucks.
Just Kmart employees were just flipping some pancakes back there.
I swear to God, it was so weird. It was just like a diner food Kmart cafeteria.
How did that place not survive?
I don't know, but. And the fact that I only ever saw people over the age of 70 eating there, or at least that's how my young mind,
it's
I
like
thought
a country
of
country kitchen buffet. Yeah. It is insane that they still haven't replaced that Kmart. They went under like what, 10, 12 years ago?
Oh, really? It's just an empty building now?
It still has the sign. It's still just, an empty big K.
That's so weird. I was always frustrated by that Kmart because it was always quicker to get to my car by going out the garden area, but couldn't check out there unless you had garden stuff.
Oh, really? They just wouldn't check you out? Because I've done that at Walmart.
Depends on how nice the cashier was.
The cashier was?
Yeah, it's an Arabic title.
That Kmart is where I used to go buy my condoms in high school. That's a fun fact. That's the only
You've
thing I really
have
associate.
You've told me that multiple times. You used to have a thing about it in high school. You would tell us about that. And you're like, because I'm not going to run it to anybody I know at Kmart.
Exactly. It's a great scheme. I was like, if you guys need to find condoms, that's the place to go to.
I didn't need to find condoms in high school, Adrian. Come on, don't mock me. Don't mock me.
The reason I went there is because I knew someone who was a cashier there, and I was fine with him checking me out. So that's why I would go to that Kmart. But also because other people wouldn't see you.
Oh, because you wanted that kid you knew to know you were getting laid?
No, I think he was just, someone I didn't really care if he, like, it wasn't embarrassing to buy condoms from him. He wasn't like the star quarterback for our high school. And I was like, come on, brother. These are for your girlfriend. I'm about to hit that too. We're Eskimo brothers.
I honestly have no idea who was quarterback at our high school. Were they even popular, whoever it was?
That's a good question. Holy shit. I think I know more baseball kids than I do know football kids.
I knew baseball kids. I knew some basketball kids. I was going to say,
Wesley Andrews
would you
kill him in the court? Either of us.
Obviously, we knew soccer kids. If somebody named them and they were like, yeah, they were the most popular person at our high school in our grade, what are the chances that either me or you would even recognize their name? Or we'd be like...
I mean, I've said this before, but like I missed out on meeting like half of our high school because I was in IB for 2 years. So I don't know kids that like were even in the same friend circles as I was. So yeah, it's quite possible I wouldn't know who that person was. Oh, last story really quick. The other thing I wanted to say about that big K that I have memories of is that's where my friend, and I'll say that nice and clean so you can cut it out. That's where he used to go to steal cough medicine to get high. He was like, the Kmart's really easy to steal from. You'd go get triple C's.
That Kmart was, I do remember, I see why he would say that, not because
Lawless.
I ever stole anything, but because you could walk around that place for a while and not see an employee. Even before it was closed, It kind of felt like it was closed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think people are probably like, why are they talking about a Kmart for so long? And I think the only way to describe it is if you've ever seen like the Twitter profile liminal spaces, that's what it felt like being at that Kmart. There was something otherworldly about that Kmart.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, the rednecks used to hang out in this parking lot. That's where we had the guitar center, too.
It's a bumping little square of our town. Really central.
Yeah, right across from the most popular bar in Lexington.
Taco Bell?
No, what was it? It was like Wings?
Oh,
something
Wings and
Bar
Ale?
And Wings. Wings and Ale.
Yeah, Wings and Ale. Yeah. I still go to that place when I'm back in town.
Odd. I don't think I've ever been in there.
Really? I went there to, I wanted to go play pool with my pappy, and Grady's was completely full and like booked for hours, so we went to the only other place with pool tables in Lexington, or at least I think, which is, Wings and Ale. It's all right. It's fine what it is.
You went, I was going to say, it's a strip mall. It's not even a main strip mall bar. It's a strip mall off of a strip mall. It's a secondary worst strip mall off of
it's
the
actual...
It's
a perpendicular strip mall yeah. from the main strip mall, yeah.
It's a second-tier strip mall bar.
Paul, I think if you still lived in your house that you grew up in, you'd be a regular there. You're right down the street.
You're right, you're right. It was only about a mile walk away from my house, which in Lexington terms is very close, very walkable.
Also, shout out to my pappy, whose birthday it is today.
All right, in 2 weeks he'll get to think, wow, Adrian remembered.
Well, I did call him this morning.
Mm.
He thinks it's really funny when I sing him happy birthday, but I do it to the tune of Feliz Navidad. For some reason, that always gets him every year.
Do you think he thinks it makes you happy, so he pretends to laugh, and but neither of you guys find it that funny anymore, but you're both doing it for the other person?
Yeah, you're right. Affection in our relationship is dead.
What's up with you? How's your week been, buddy?
Been pretty good. A little busy. A lot of emails from kids. You know how they are. Let's see. Wednesday, I took the day off to go watch my Milan boys make it to the round of the quarterfinals of the Champions League after beating the Tottenham boys. You know, I was worried about that one, but Paul hit it on the head and we talked about it. Lads, it's Tottenham. Should have won both legs, like, by 3 goals, but, you know. We scraped by, but it was, you know, a fun game. And then, yeah, not much else. I don't think I had any media roundup, really, or anything like that. My only other thing is that we've talked about this before, but you know how you and I just kind of had good instincts, and we usually like things that end up not being problematic? As someone who's not a J.K. Rowling head, a picture was floating around online that I saw of one of my favorite authors from when I was a kid, which is K.A. Applegate, famous for Animorphs, but I liked her Evermore series. I liked her so much that in sixth grade, one of our assignments was to write an author. And I think it was actually a really cool assignment because our teacher kind of knew that, like, sixth graders writing an author, there's, like, not a 0% chance that they're going to write back or even, like, send you stuff. I got a letter back, and I was very disappointed that I didn't get anything else. I was like, I could use some swag or something. Come on, come on. But she was recently floating around the internet as like, oh, look at how cool she is compared to J.K. Rowling. She was wearing a Protect Trans Kids shirt. So shout out to her. Way to stick by your white woman liberal values.
I think it's cool that she's wearing the shirt, but I would like to see her, you know, maybe practicing, learning like self-defense, sword play, maybe at a gun range with an assault rifle.
Do, 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 do. That's why I would only respect West Side Gun if he was wearing a Protect Trans Kid.
Because you know if somebody comes for a trans kid.
Otherwise, it's all just talk.
He'll be able to protect them.
Where was you back when I was taking my HRT? Do, 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 do.
Look, all I'm saying is I think trans kids need more than words. I think they need action. Is Applegate about that action?
Applegate's about that action.
You think she's going to turn into a lion and maul a transphobe?
Ooh, do you think that's what her animorph is?
You know, I never read the book, so I don't know. Like, does the animal you turn into usually say something about you? Do, like, the evil characters turn into snakes and the good characters turn into, like, tigers and lions and falcons?
Oh, I don't know if they're... You know, I'm not going to speak on it. We had all the books because my brother would use his allowance to buy them, but I never gravitated towards those.
I was trying to think of more evil animals. Coyotes. Coyotes. I guess, Emily, I hope you're not listening to the pod anymore.
Well, I think she isn't, probably, but... Yeah, I don't actually know how that system worked. What do you think you would be?
Pterodactyl.
Half wolf. Yeah, I'd probably be like a woolly mammoth or something.
No, yeah, you're right. I'd be a wolf. That is, I'd be a wolf with a scar down my left eye.
Even though you don't have one as a human.
Yeah, but my wolf soda would.
Scar. I'd be like a rhinoceros, but instead of like a horn, it'd be like a blade. Just like a sword. It'd be a chainsaw.
I'd be a pterodactyl, but instead of wings, it'd be chainsaws. I couldn't fly. Really do much.
All right, yeah, what's going on with you? I feel like I talked about a bunch of stuff.
Yesterday, I watched Women Talking and Top Gun Maverick, or Top Gun.
You did a double feature?
Yeah, I wanted to finish watching every movie that was on the... That was up for
Best Picture
tonight. So,
oh,
Women Talking and Top Gun were both great movies in their own way. I thought the color palette of Women Talking was a little dry. I don't know, but It looks like one of the...
Why don't you just turn the saturation up on your TV?
Well, I use a projector.
Oh. Oh, good.
It was one of those movies that looked like it had a color filter placed on it. Like, you could tell there was just some certain processing done to, like... But it was just too much. It felt odd. It felt like they could have just left a little bit more of the natural or real colors that were filmed in it, rather than trying to get an emotion across by making it a certain palette after the fact.
You probably had an easy time with that crossword from, like, 2 days ago where they were asking about Best Picture nominations in the crossword.
Oh, I haven't done it this week a lot. I think I missed that
Oh,
one.
Well, I very hilariously thought that the original Top Gun came out in, I guess, like, 2008, where obviously the answer to that one was Avatar and the one above it was Top Gun. I had no sense of time for when the first Top Gun came out, but both of them, the clues were like...
oh, yeah, they are both six picture. Letters.
Yeah, Best Picture nom, where the first one came out in blank or whatever. I totally forgot about Avatar, because I don't know if it has any chance of winning Best Picture, and I didn't watch it, but I just know that it wasn't that good. Like, come on. It's not a good movie.
Yeah, I think, as far as, like, I was, like, looking back through my letterbox to see what I had rated all the movies that were Best Picture nominations, and I think it was the lowest rated one I had, that along with All Quiet on the Western Front and... Everything Everywhere All at Once. The three were kind of in the top bottom tier.
Damn.
Yeah.
So wrong about one of those. And your review of Top Gun?
Oh, I thought it was a really fun movie. Yeah. Mm. Middle tier wouldn't be... Honestly, I wouldn't be... The only movie that I think I would be upset if they won would be probably All Quiet on the Western Front, because it would seem like such a... I don't know, like, such a giving it to the, like, serious war movie pick, and that would just feel kind of cheesy. I think everything else I'd kind of be like, you know what, I'm happy for at least, like, I don't know, I'm happy for the idea of everything else winning. I'd be happy for some of the people involved. I think they all did something interesting. I think as long as it doesn't go to All Quiet on the Western Front, I'm pretty happy. Time to get into the theme.
It's about damn time.
About damn time.
Were you worried that this was going to be one that we've already done a video or done a podcast on?
Have we? No, I don't think we have.
Awards. Award season.
Because we've never recorded on the same night that the Oscars were happening.
Yeah, but there are other awards during other parts of the year that we could have based this off of.
Name 20 other times there's awards. Adrian, did you keep, do you still have all the plastic trophies you won in intramural sports as a child?
Well, intramural refers to collegiate sports.
Oh, enter.
You mean rec league?
Rec
sports?
League, yeah.
Yeah, they're at my parents' house.
Yeah, me too.
So I have like what, 20 of those, like every season, and you know, we got participation trophies. So
yeah, same.
I always got one, even if I didn't.
I promise you, I was not good at any of this shit, but I got the cheap plastic trophy at the end of the year. Half year at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
No, anyway.
End of the season. Actually, there were a couple that were pretty nice, like where I think it might have been my neighbor's dad who funded those, but we actually had some that were pretty like aesthetically pleasing. Not just like the kid little plastic kicking a ball on top of a two-column blue thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of those. I do have a couple that are unique that I like. Like I have a one time we got like a big glass mug, and I really like that one.
Actually, now that we're talking about it, this is kind of interesting. So some of them, they actually put the effort into getting them engraved individually.
Yeah.
So there was one year where Pele Perez, which was my nickname, was on the trophy. And then there was another year where I guess this was just an option, but we got bobblehead trophies. So it was like the metal material, but like a little bobblehead guy.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, that went hard as fuck.
Do you have any medals?
No, my brother has medals from when he did Taekwondo, and I remember seeing those around the house, but I don't think I did anything that was like, you got a medal for it. I didn't raise any pigs or like,
oh, you see, we had the rec league, and we would sometimes get medals. I feel like I got most improved a couple times.
Hey, come on now.
Which you would think if I'd gotten that multiple years in a row, I would have been good at some point, but now.
MIP, baby. No, I have my soccer trophies. I have trophies from summer camp. When I went to summer camp at the end of the year, they would give out trophies. And that one was like it wasn't competitive. Like people didn't really think about it. It was kind of like an afterthought. So the way that the camp worked is that you got to pick basically electives. So like from 3 hours of your day, you're just doing electives that you pick to do. And at the end of the 2-week summer camp, they'd give out awards. And it was only for one person in each activity per age group. So it's not like a lot of people are getting them. So, you know, it definitely wasn't participation trophy. And it's actually weird. I think most of the time I got them because, like, the person just liked me as a person. So I won 2 canoeing awards and I won 1 soccer award, I think, when I was at camp.
Cool.
Over the years. Yeah.
I have
I might have won an archery one, too.
I have a stuffed animal with a number one little printed out medallion on it.
Oh, with a medallion? That's cute.
And I got that in 3rd grade because I had the cutest stuffed animal as voted by the class. It was a little was a little chicken.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I told you before in 6th grade I won a best smile for our class superlatives.
What else? Awards.
Spelling bees? Geography bees?
Oh, I was always really bad at those. Did you ever make it out of the classroom phase and into the grade phase? Because the spelling bee was really like... They found a way to make it efficient, which was, like, each teacher did it in her classroom, and then you'd play your grade, and then you'd go to, like, the one everybody had to watch in the school.
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked those as a concept, but I never really got into them.
Yeah, I was not good at spelling.
Still not good at spelling.
That's true. Have you ever been on a committee to select an award for somebody else?
No, Phil has. Phil got asked to judge a talent competition for a high school. And actually, we both got asked to do a bit for a high school college competition from our friend Kevin, but we were out of town that day. We were supposed to be his bouncers. He was going to go as a character to judge, and we were going to be his bouncers. But that ended up not working out. And then I also, when I was in my undergrad lab, one of the interesting things about our lab tech is that he was like a, I don't know if there's a certification, but he was like a reputable barbecue judge, which honestly seems like a killer gig if you can get it.
Yeah. Why are people going to get like their sommelier certification when they could be going to get their barbecue certification? I would much rather do that.
Yeah. I mean, come on, just think about the savings, dude. You're like, we're paying like $50 for a metal plate of like 3 different meats now. Like, just they're giving it to you for free and they're asking you if you like it. That's just a smart financial decision.
To save money on barbecue.
Yeah. Get my certification as a barbecue judge.
Much better gig than the chili cook-off judge, which is just tasting a lot of, like, spicy tomato soups, basically.
Yeah, or that one guy who tries to be sneaky and just brings in Wendy's chili with some Tabasco in it.
Ooh. I do like Wendy's chili.
Wendy's does make a pretty good chili. That's what most people say.
I've never heard of that, but I immediately understood why that would work. It does make sense that they add Tabasco because it does need a little bit more heat.
It was based on a church, and this is why the connection happened. But my girlfriend's dad and then the really annoying young Sheldon type dude who was in the little program that I was in, Robert. But yeah, his dad and my girlfriend's dad both competed in the Columbia Chili Cook-Off, and that's how they knew each other. Every year, they were battling it out.
That seems like a real they were gay lovers and they needed another story for you kids.
They see each other in public and you're like, why are you staring at that guy so much?
Oh, we've both
completely cooked off enemy. He's beaten my ass 3 years in a row. My ass has taken a real pounding every year.
Well, let me tell you, the next day I can't even walk.
Yeah, I tried my girlfriend's dad's chili. I don't think it was award worthy, but
that's disgusting, you know? Adrian. Have you ever told an adult about this?
Oh, I forgot we're still speaking in euphemisms.
It wasn't good.
It was all right. Maybe I just don't really love chili that much.
That's kind of why I was like, I would way rather have that barbecue competition. Like, a chili really is like chunky soup. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of really good chili. I feel like maybe this is controversial. Still not like just good enough in general that's what I would want to like have to eat all day to judge.
Yeah. I also think it's weird that there's like controversy culinarily around like whether or not you put beans in chili or not. It's pretty good. It's a good way to fill out a chili.
Yeah, that's like the Americans' version of like the biryani debates. Like, it just really runs deep.
With raisins or without raisins?
Oh, dude, I've worked with a lot of Indian employees. Every detail about biryani causes controversy.
Serve it on a plate. Serve it on a bowl.
Mm.
Serve it with a jalebi. Without a jalebi, baby.
Some of it, like, some of them like it deconstructed and frozen and then turned into a fine powder with a Paco jet. Some of them don't like that.
Mm. The other stories I have about cooking competitions, I think Phil went to a mac and cheese cooking competition. And he said that it was kind of like one of those things that has a real inflection point where it stops being fun to have to eat more mac and cheese.
I've been to the Mac and Cheese Fest in Charlotte, and I will say it was way better the first year I went, because it was always eat as much mac and cheese as you want. But the first year was when you got in, they gave you like a little like half pint glass, like about this big.
And they just kept filling you up.
And it was unlimited drinks too from all these.
I think
breweries.
That was the thing with Phil too.
And yeah, it was awesome. I think his was unlimited that was too. The best part of it. And then the next year I went back expecting the same thing, and they changed it to 3 drink tickets and unlimited mac and cheese. And I was like, the unlimited drinks is what makes you want more mac and cheese. I don't want a bunch of mac and cheese and yeah, only 3 drinks.
That's true. All right. Any other awards? Have I ever talked about on pod explicitly my experiences of being in the USC comedy competitions?
No, not on pod. I've heard them.
Yeah, I only did it twice. My first year of undergrad, I got 2nd place and I lost to a comedy magician, and I quit comedy for a little bit after that because it hurt a lot. And I feel like I should have won.
Comedy magic is so cheap.
Yeah, and also his jokes were so bad, too. Like, the magic was really, like, kind of okay, and it made up for what were just terrible, terrible. Like, you can look them up online and on Popsicle jokes.
People do like that, though. I mean, I think it speaks more to the type of people who probably run that event not being people who would ever go see comedy in any other situation. Like, they probably just don't like stand-up or comedy. They're not, like, ever going to a stand-up show, so they just pick the ones that were the jokes they liked the most.
I can't remember if that was a year where I knew the judges, because it was local like comedy people, so I would sometimes, like, Joey Massaro won 1 year and then judged it the next year.
Never mind that. Maybe you're just not as funny as you think, Adrian.
Could have been. I mean, I got 2nd place, right? That's not too bad. There's also a highlight both years of the, they invite a stand-up comedian to host it, and so the first time I did it, it was Andrew Santino.
Oh, cool.
And he complimented one of my jokes directly, like, while he was on stage. He was like, by the way, I like that one joke that you told a lot.
He rocks, he's funny.
Yeah, and then the second time that I did it, it was Emma Willman, and she's really funny too, and she didn't compliment one of my jokes, but I didn't place that year, and when I went to go talk to her after the competition, she basically was just like, so competitions are weird, huh? Sometimes judges get it wrong. And I was like, oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah, and then the 1 year where I went, but I didn't actually perform, but Phil did, Joel Kim Booster hosted, and he was really funny. But I didn't get to do any stand-up for him because I was too busy interviewing for grad school, like the weekend before and the weekend after. So I couldn't get a tight 5 together. I did audition, though, and I did make it. I just had to decline the invitation.
Damn.
Yeah. So no awards from that. Phil won 1 year, though. Phil won, and he got a little spread in the local newspaper that we have. Or what do you call it? Like the Gamecock Daily?
I was going to say, little I feel magazine. Like you really got to go for local Columbia stuff. That seems like a good way to win that type of competition. Like, don't try to do generic observational stuff. You got to do, like, the traffic on King Street. Am I right?
Charleston?
Oh, shit. The traffic on Gervais. Am I right?
Come on, now. Hey, you ever trip on a brick on campus? Come on, now.
And then steal that brick for some reason?
That's true. That's also a thing. That is such a resonant thing for USC students, and I think it's super corny, but I do have a friend who's a couple years younger than me who I worked with at Trader Joe's, where his band's name is Tripping on Bricks.
Okay.
Because they're a local Columbia band, baby.
Okay.
Check them out, though. Shout out to them. Evan was a cool guy.
Tripping on Bricks also sounds like something that a real Freddie Gibbs style rapper could
Ooh,
use.
Yo, that would be hard as hell if they switched to that. I guess the last thing to mention is that I did get a prize for getting 2nd place that first year, which was a signed poster from Steve Ranazzisi, because he had performed earlier that year. And I gave it to my sister as a present.
Oh my god, what a loss.
What do you mean?
I assume that has to go up in value so much after it comes out that he's
after 9/11?
After he's the 9/11 scam comedian.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so funny. That's the funniest person you could have gotten a signed poster from, Steve Ranazzisi.
It was either him, Craig Robinson, or one other guy I can't remember.
I know you're a big office head, so that must have been a tough choice.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't dislike Craig Robinson, but I wasn't really...
You're not a hot tub time machine?
I wasn't even at his performance.
Dude.
Nah. Oh, also, Phil winning was the reason I got to meet Nathan Fielder when he came to our campus.
So jealous of that.
Yeah, I told him about my mixtape, and he did not care.
You thought he was going to care?
I thought he'd at least be like, oh, well, check it out, mate. I'm Canadian.
A lot to unpack there about what you think a Canadian accent sounds like. How did he not care? Did he just not even, like, register you were talking to him in his face?
Literally, Phil and I were talking to him, and we were like, yeah, we have this mixtape that's coming out. This is what it's called. That's what the name means. And he was like, oh, cool.
It sounds like he's just like his character. I can't really be offended by that. I told you my brother. Have I ever told you this? I recommended he listen. He watch. What is his new show on HBO called?
The Rehearsal.
The Rehearsal. Yeah. So I told my brother you should watch The Rehearsal.
I think he did tell me this.
And he came back to me the next week and was like, I was like, oh, did you watch that show? How'd you like it? And he was like, you know, I couldn't really get into it. I just thought it was really mean that they were making fun of like a differently abled person the whole time. So I didn't get through the whole first episode. And I was like, I don't think that guy's...
I mean, Core's a little awkward, but yeah.
I was like, that, right? Like the like black guy who's in the first episode. I was like, he's a little awkward. He's like, no, the host. And I was like, wait,
what? He thought Nathan Fielder was the butt of the joke.
He thought that that HBO was taking advantage of a differently abled person.
That is such an awesome take.
I was like, yeah, you know, there is a lot of there is a lot of discourse online about if like filming these people is immoral or not. Mm-hmm. Then it turned out he's talking about Nathan. That's who he was worried about.
That's so funny.
And then I was like, okay, but come on, you had to realize it was a joke. And it turned out he'd only watched 10 minutes of it before making this conclusion and stopping watching. I was like, there's no way you can make it to the end of the episode without realizing he's fucking with people.
Yeah. He's the real baddie.
He is the real baddie. He was the real bad guy all along.
No cap.
Ooh, yeah, white women would love to do that. Oh, don't give them any ideas. Mm-hmm. Cut it.
Yep, got it. Well, it's not like any white women listen to this anyways.
What are you talking about? They love this podcast.
That's our number one demographic.
Yeah, right after they finish listening to...
Call Me Daddy.
Call Me Daddy. The Morning Toast.
My dad wrote a poem now.
I thought that was a guy who was the host of that. I've never listened to an episode. It was a woman.
Either that or there's like a panel of people who read the book and laugh at it together. It is kind of insane to me how many people I know that thought that that was the pinnacle of comedy.
No cap.
I'm gunning for that Nobel Prize in physics.
Ooh. I'm going for a Peace Prize. That seems like the easier one to win, ironically.
It is. Definitely the easier one to win. You can win it if you just become U.S. president after a Republican. You just get one.
That's true. I was going to bring that up, yeah. That was the one time where Obama haters that we grew up with kind of had a point.
Of course they had a point.
I mean, I'm just saying that it's interesting when the people who
are wrong about
actually
everything.
Convinced... And are convinced that he's the actual Antichrist because he's black.
That's like, so funny.
Have a good point. Like, come on. You have to admit that's like a little bit mind-bending as a kid.
I don't think you can even tell people about that anymore. Like, they don't understand how truly and wholly convinced, like, a large chunk of our school was that he was literally, not in any way figuratively, the Antichrist.
No, yeah.
Obama was a biblical figure.
Foretold by their Bible.
Foretold, yes. He was the coming of a anti-Masonic figure to bring dread and evil onto this world. And they just...
A plague upon all of us.
And they would just talk about it casually. Like, that was just the reality they lived in, brother. And they would tell you about it.
Alright, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll let you go first.
All right, so this is from Dear Prudence. I wanted to find one about participation trophies, but ironically, not that easy to find, despite how much boomers complain about them. So I have this one instead. Dear Prudence, my niece is a very talented young gymnast. In the last few years, she's begun competing and is on track to try out for the national team once she hits the age requirement in a few years. She regularly places first in her competitions, and her family, immediate and extended, who are all quite close, are very proud, rightfully so. She receives a lot of praise and attention for her success. As the stakes of her competitions inevitably increase, I am worried her success will overshadow her younger brother. I've started seeing a fairly obvious discrepancy between the attention she receives at family gatherings versus her brother. How can I help make sure her brother feels seen and that his pursuits/interests are valued, even if they don't bring home gold medals. Gold medal not required. Paul, how do your siblings handle living under the shadow of incredible, immense weight of talent that you have?
Wait, the DVD copy of the immense weight of talent?
No. I'm talking about your immense talent.
No, I'm very publicly regarded in my family as the real, least successful sibling, as the real loser sibling. This is public knowledge.
And you'd be the winner sibling in our family. Just goes to show.
You have a PhD, brother. Come on, don't put yourself down.
I do not have a PhD yet.
Okay, but you will. That goes for something in my family. My mom would get to brag about it.
Oh, yeah, your mom would be like, he's a doctor.
Yeah, she would like that. She would be able to brag about it to her friends or her family. But she would be upset you weren't a medical doctor. She might fudge that detail while telling the family.
That is true. I kind of get worried sometimes that... So, apparently, in the dual nature of things, as they are, I have inspired people in my family in Guatemala to, like, achieve higher educational success. I also think the ones that have, like, met me in person because I don't speak Spanish assume that I'm kind of a bumbling idiot. Like, it's hard to seem intelligent to your family when you can't speak the same language they do, and all they do is see you just down in gallons of Gallo beer and getting all loopy. So I feel like the ones who actually interacted with me are like, I can't believe that guy's getting a PhD. He seems like an idiot.
They're like, a PhD in America must be easy, huh?
They'll just give it to anybody. No way that kid was like a straight A student all throughout school.
I think what we know about undergrads is they wouldn't be wrong. Like, getting an undergrad in America is much easier than getting an undergrad degree anywhere else.
Probably, yeah. They still have standards. What is that quote from The Simpsons where Lisa's getting bullied for being a high-achieving student and Michelle Obama comes to visit the class and get her to stop being bullied because they were like cyber friends and she didn't realize it was Michelle Obama? Anyways, too much setup, but basically she's like, I was a straight-A student back when it was hard to get A's or something like that.
But anyway, back to the column. I think there's a famous saying that diminishing one person's candle makes the other person shine brighter.
Diminishing one person's candle.
So you've got to sabotage your gymnast daughter. Maybe set her up to twist an ankle, keep taking her to the like trampoline park.
Put a lot of banana peels everywhere.
Convince her to go play drunk soccer tennis. That's worked for me in the past.
That did ruin your ankle. That ruined your chances of going to state. Right in front of Elliot Lance.
What sort of family? It's like, it's cool that she's succeeding, but like, what like family members are that impressed by like, I don't know, children level sports? That,
I mean, it sounds like she's going to like the Olympics and shit.
She's
trying out for the national team.
Wow, we should have had Izzy on for this question. She was on the national team when she was a high schooler, but I guess her siblings were older than her, so not very. Oh yeah, we really should have had Izzy on for this. She's won a lot of awards. She was very good at fencing.
Damn. Here I am just getting participation trophies.
In fencing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so besides Izzy, do you know anybody who's like made it to a national team?
I used to have a neighbor who was really good at baseball and he made it. He went to minor league baseball, but
damn, okay.
That wasn't even in high school.
I have an interesting one where I don't, you know this guy, because we ran into him at Walmart a lot, and I don't want to accuse him of anything.
George and Emilio? Wait, no, those are my cousin's name.
No, we didn't run into your cousin.
Wait, no, but they were very similar. They were two soccer-loving brothers. This was, what are their names?
Oh, it was their dad that we usually ran into.
Yeah, their dad, but what were the kids' names? Yeah, yeah. So,
I feel like we're just going
to bleep it out. I know, but I'm curious. Yes, that's it.
And so this is exactly what I'm talking about. So I don't want to accuse him of anything, but he did have two sons who were very good at soccer. They both made the varsity team. They both, you know, were pretty good, played in college probably.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that their daughter, who was younger than them,
existed. I didn't either.
Yeah, exactly. She made it to the Peruvian national team. Like, she got called up from being scouted in America to be on the Peruvian national team. She played for like a year and just didn't like being there. And so she quit and came back to America. But like, the one kid that I never heard about was like apparently the one who actually was like the best out of all of them. And I don't want to accuse them of sexism or anything like that, but like...
No, but like maybe it wasn't that, because they were similar enough in age. I remember being on a team with... Wait, no, I wasn't. No, I was on a team with the older one, not the younger
one. Yeah, he was only a year younger than us.
But maybe the dad took them, because I remember they were in the same rec league I was in. Maybe he took them to their practices and the mom took her to her practices. And it was just that sort of like, that's how they split up the labor. And it wasn't like them, it wasn't that he just didn't care about the daughter. We just knew the boys because they were brought together. Also, maybe he was just an absentee father and a horrible person. That's a way funnier.
No, I'm not putting that on him at all. I think he's a very good father. He's a very nice guy. My dad's still friends with him. It was just a weird thing where, like, I was in a car ride with my dad like a year ago, and he's just like, yeah, she went to Peru to play for the national team. I was like, holy shit, that goes hard.
That's cool. That's cool. I also didn't know they had a sister. I really always thought it was the two of them.
Yeah, it's the two Italian boys.
Yeah, you know those parents that when they did have a kid who was clearly talented and they wanted that kid to make it all the way?
Mm-hmm.
It was always awkward to be on their team. I think I've told this story before of in basketball, there was a kid whose his son was so short. There was no way he was ever going to be good at basketball, but like he was the coach. And he clearly wanted his son to be really good at basketball.
Love a coach's son. Love a coach's
son. And I've told this story odd pod before, but I beat his son at something like in practice one day. Like I just did better than him. Like,
oh, this was Drake's episode.
Yeah. And the dad was literally like to the son in front of me. I could hear he was like, you let Paul beat you? It's like, you fucking dick.
God, Lexington parents.
So, yeah, there is like the parent who really wants their kid to win is a funny aesthetic.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it is awkward to be on their team and see them push their kid and be like, especially in that case of how short his son was, like, sorry, dude, he's never going to be that good at basketball. Like, give up on this dream.
And right now, what is he now? He's a short king.
He's a short king.
Anyways, so advice for this kid. Some hobbies don't have medals associated with them, so get into knitting. Actually, probably everything does at some level, doesn't it? There's literally, like, world championships for who's the best barber. I'm sure, like, at some level, every type of hobby probably has a medal associated with it.
Okay, if you're not willing to injure one of your children to hold them back to make the other one look better, I don't, it's such a weird concept to me. Like, even, I feel like if I had a niece who was going to be a star gymnast, I'd think that was cool, and I would talk to her about it a little. I wouldn't, like, what am I going to do, spend all my time at a family gathering interrogating a 14-year-old about her gymnastic skills? Like, there's only so much attention you can give someone before it's like, okay, but I'm also interested in my other nieces. Like, who is this family who are, like, such suck-ups? They're like, she's going to be Simone Biles one day, and I want to get in good. Like, I don't know.
Is Simone Biles even rich? Do you make money from being a gymnast?
I have no clue, man.
It seems like the most viable career path is, like, opening your own gym.
No, come on. I'm sure she's rich from endorsements. She has to be, like, on Kellogg's cereal.
She's on Wheaties. Yeah. That's true. And they want some of that Wheaties money?
Exactly. Like, I don't get these adults who are doting over a child that much others and be like, cool, like, good job, like, keep at it. I don't know. Do you think if you met a child in your family who was potentially really good at something, you would...
Would you rather talk to a kid about the trials and tribulations and inside baseball of being a professional gymnast at 15 or about Kevin's science test that he took last week?
I think I probably wouldn't talk to... I would be talking to the parents because they have to navigate all that in their lives. I wouldn't be interrogating a child about it. I would still be asking the child, like, do you have fun doing it? Like, the generic shit you ask children.
Paul, I know because you're Arab, you usually get interrogated, but I feel like that's a strong word to use for these familial relationships where they're just talking to each other.
But that's what I mean. Like, I don't know. With 14-year-old, I don't... maybe I'm explaining it wrong. Maybe you would, like, if you... I don't know. I guess it's how do you envision it if you were at a family gathering and there was a star athlete child?
Right. Hold on. We're in someone's backyard. It's in one of the sketchier parts of Colombia. There's some carne asada on the grill. There's some yellow rice being made. There's some music going
an
around.
An 8-year-old girl in soccer shoes and a wedding dress.
No, that's not true. We're not at a laundromat. We're in someone's backyard. I already said that.
Not front yard? Okay. Not accurate to how I know things, but continue.
Yeah, they're always disruptive in the front yard. I forgot to mention that we're being very disruptive to the neighborhood. We're not following any of the HOA guidelines. Our music is way too loud. There's some kids playing with the ball. And I see one kid who's clearly better than the other. And I ask their parent, oh, hey, I know you have two children, but how's the one who's really good at soccer doing? And I don't care about the other one.
But you're not walking up to the kid and giving them a ton of attention, right? And being like, other kids, you guys suck. Let me talk to this kid.
Maybe when he scores a goal, I'm like, oh, dang, Hector, what the fuck, bro? Come on now. Take it easy on them. They got families.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
I see him do a Travella, and I'm like, sheesh, come on, Hector. You ain't got to do it to him.
Imagine Marcelo. Imagine he stays the same age, and you're the age you are now.
That's what I love about Marcelo, is that he stays the same age. I keep getting older.
You're talking to your dad, and he's like, oh yeah, we're seeing our friend, and your dad is talking to Marcelo's dad. You're talking to the dad, right?
Luigi.
Oh, he named the first son after himself? A little cocky.
Yeah. You should have named the second one. He's better. Wrong kid died.
You're not going up to Marcelo to ask him. You're just talking to the dad at this age, right?
Wait, you didn't tell me what age to stick him at.
He's 12 or whatever people thought he might be good.
I mean, if I knew the sport, I'd probably talk to the kid. If I didn't, I'd probably just talk to the parent. I'd be like, hey, how's baseball going?
Yeah, nobody knows gymnastics, so you're safe. You see, I've proved my point, and now you have to concede that I've been right this whole time.
Wait, so your advice to this worried parent is
I think the parent is making it up.
You're stupid,
I think,
and the kid's going to be
fine. I think the premise is slightly made up. I don't think the family is giving this daughter as much attention as she... I think maybe she's worried that it'll happen. I don't think it's going to manifest as much as she thinks it is. People don't obsess over children's sports, even at high levels, that much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just one of those things that makes us different, is like, I like validating people's concerns, you like invalidating people's feelings, but, you know, I guess you're right.
Hey, 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 mamma mia.
I'm watching a preview of the Mario movie.
Yeah, you are watching the Mario movie, and call me Chris Pratt, because clearly care about one kid more than the other in my family.
Ooh, wrong kid died.
Come on now.
So, yeah, so your advice is do nothing.
I think you might have to just let it play out. I think kids can sense what you're thinking and feeling a lot more than you realize. And if you start trying to make this kid feel good by being like, oh my God, you are so good at cleaning up after yourself. You are so good at getting A's, B's, and C's in your classes. You are just like almost as good as your sister. Like, I feel like the kid's going to get that you're condescending. It's going to make him feel worse. Like, just don't make it a big deal. Maybe he's proud of his sister and it's not like, I feel like it could be in your head. So you don't make it a big deal before he's made it a big deal. Because she hasn't said this child seems sad. She hasn't said the brother seems like he's come to me saying he feels insecure about his own worth. None of that. So wait for it to happen before you start putting it on him and making him feel it.
I was going to say that, like, one of my suggestions is maybe put your thumb on the scale a little bit. And, like, if everyone in the circle is talking about Sasha, you could be like, you know, last night, Henry got a sick 360 no-scope headshot while playing Fortnite or whatever, so that's pretty cool, too.
I think that, I mean, that's funny, but I think that's the opposite of what you should do. I think kids can sense that a little bit.
Okay.
I would say if you're going to put your thumb on the scale, just don't talk about your daughter's achievements too much. Like, it's going to become a big part of your life if you have to drive her to meets and she has to, like, fly across the country to do competitions. And so you're going to have to mention that, but don't, like, excitedly bring it up first thing every time you're with both your children and a stranger talking. Like, I would say hold back on over bragging about her in front of him, but don't try to, I don't know, make up that he's as talented as her, because he's going to sense that and it's going to make him feel more insecure.
You know, some of us are born great and some of us have greatness thrust upon us.
Yeah, I think if you raised good kids and you were And you were a generally, like, emotionally mature parent who taught your kids to have, like, the emotional tools they need. Like, he might feel some jealousy, but hopefully he would also feel, like, pretty happy and excited his sister's excelling and, like, a sense of pride over being a part of that in his own way. I don't know. Hopefully they have a good relationship and he can feel some pride in their brother-sister camaraderie.
All right. Yeah, it seems good to me. You want to read the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Dear Gold Medal, do a little research with his parents. Wait, what? My niece. Oh, I didn't even realize that this was not the parent. This was the aunt. I totally forgot about that part of it. Why is it the aunt's job to regulate this relationship?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that either. That's so funny.
That went way over my head. I was like, research of the parents. They are the parents.
Wait, okay. What?
Yeah, now I kind of agree with your take now. I don't think she needs to do anything.
This aunt is so funny.
Maybe just be a Chicago party aunt instead of being a nervous Nelly aunt.
Wait, that means she's definitely the one giving her the extra attention at family gatherings. She's like, every time every time I want to talk to my cool niece about her sweet gymnastics shit, I feel this little stinker standing there staring at me, waiting for me to talk to him. And it's like, no, she gets the $50 gift card, the $50 Starbucks gift card at Christmas. You get the $20 one. You'll get a $50 Starbucks gift card when you're a star too.
Do a little research with his parents. What is he into? What has he accomplished recently? What are some of his wonderful qualities? These don't have to involve medals. Maybe he learned to ride a bike, or was a student of the week at school, or made a really nice card for a friend who was sick. Then blast this out over the family text with celebratory emojis saying, I'm so proud to be his
aunt.
I'm going to make sure to make a big deal about this.
This lady's going to be like, okay, well, she just won gold at nationals and is the best and most talented up-and-coming young gymnast, but little Kyle learned to ride a bike. Come on, let's give it up for Kyle. Gonna come off like a condescending prick.
You know, Sasha just won gold at nationals, but who also won gold? Andrew Tate. So they're not always good just because they won a medal.
Wait, what did Andrew Tate win gold at?
He was a kickboxer. He was like a world champion.
Oh.
Kickboxer. Yeah.
So in the past, he won gold. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's older now. I don't think people are kickboxing at 40 or however old he is. Then blast this out over
or
the family text.
Or made a really nice card for a friend who was sick.
That one is really funny. Have you ever gotten a good card from someone?
Yeah,
makes your day.
She just got sponsored by Nike, but he just made a nice card for somebody who was sick, so let's make sure to give them both their props. She just got accepted to the U.S. team for the Olympics, but he's been having really regular shits this week. So let's give it up for both of them, y'all.
I'm going to make sure to make a big deal about this next time we see each other. Feel free to join me. Spend 10 minutes at each family gathering one-on-one with him, looking him in the eyes and letting him talk about whatever he wants. I can tell you're authentically interested in him, so you won't have to fake it. Don't pity him. Remember that he could totally be wrapped up in his latest chapter book, his interest in dinosaurs, or his quest to get more screen time and not even thinking about his sister. Having a gymnast sister is all he's ever known, and it might just be background noise to him. In childhood, accomplishments and accompanying praise ebb and flow, and it's more important for him to feel cared for and loved than it is for him to feel celebrated.
I hated that answer. I had the opinion that it would feel awkward and condescending while we were reading the question. And once I heard the answer, I feel like she just reinforced that opinion. Every example she gave made it feel awkward and condescending. And I know she said, don't pity him, but like, I don't know. Like when you turn on your iPhone timer app to 10 minutes and start making eye contact with him, I think he's going to get that what you're doing is a parlor trick to make him not feel bad.
You don't think kids like that?
No, I don't think so.
Appreciate that? If you were the only kid sitting alone at a lunch table and someone came over to share a snack with you, you would be like, oh, this is cynical. I don't like you as a person.
Yes. Damn, in fact, I think as a nerdy kid, I did sometimes have adults try to, like, when I was losing at a game, be like, hey, doesn't matter. You're just as good at other things. I'd be like, shut the fuck up right now.
Shut up, bitch.
It would make me so angry, man, as a kid. Like, I remember one time very specifically losing at table tennis when I was at a, like, my parents were at a dinner party, and they had, like, a table tennis thing in the basement, and I kept losing. And the dad of the kid who was beating me came up to me, he's like, I'm sure you're good at other things, and I was so pissed off. Like,
that's so, honestly, that kind of sounds aggressive. Like, that's kind of hilarious to say to somebody. That feels like a good put down.
Like, even in fifth grade, like, my emotions was not like, oh yeah, what a genuine, like, this adult really cares about who I am. I was like, you fucking piece of shit.
No cap.
I have a Slate's pay dirt advice column that I'm going to jump in. So two Slate columns this week.
Doing double duty with Prudy.
Well, pay dirt Prudy. Isn't Prudy, but yeah, I get your point.
Yeah.
My husband and I have what one would call a traditional marriage. He works and I tend to the home. Since we're child-free and I already finished college, I suppose you could call me a trophy wife. But firstly, I'm non-binary. And secondly, that's the rub. Whenever we meet new couples at social gatherings, the first question is, and what do you do? On paper, not much. I read a lot. I read a lot. I tend to my hobbies. I attempt to bake.
It is hard. They are the same word.
Thank you, buddy. People aren't always understanding about my dyslexia. And I spend time with my husband. He handles all the boring life matters like bills for us, and I dote on him. Making sure I want for nothing satisfies him, and being cared for so wholly pleases me. It may not be feminist to others, feminist in quotes, but for us, it's blissful. We contribute differently to our life together. He provides all the concrete trappings, and I provide all the immaterial. He keeps our bodies nourished and warm with his marvelous cooking in our beautiful home, and I keep our minds curious and stimulated with lively discussion and cultural enrichment. Family and friends have no compunctions about our marriage. But total strangers feel compelled to judge our relationship as unequal or misogynistic. The second I say, oh, I don't work, is there anything I can say to ward such judgment off? It's hurtful. They say our relationship is unfair just because my contributions can't be measured in money or labor.
You know, I know this is probably not what they want to hear, because it sounds like they're a little bit of a conservative person who doesn't like feminists, but honestly, become a lefty.
This conservative non-binary person?
I don't know. The way they're like, it's not feminist for me to, like, be a trophy wife or whatever. I was like, how many feminists are actually mad about that? Like, I don't know. That seems like fake culture war bullshit. And also, yes, Paul, people have intersectional identities and can be conservative even if they are part of a marginalized group. That's how those things work.
I guess. I think we're still in the, like, early enough days of the trans rights movement where every trans conservative is in the closet, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Like Blair White?
That's true.
No, I was going to say that, yeah, I mean, the whole, like, everyone's first question at a party is, what do you do for work? You can get real into your communist spiel about how, why are we so atomized in this? Why is it that we define ourselves by our labor?
I think housework should be paid, is how you opened with that. So you mm-hmm. get on your labor soapbox about how about how domestic labor should be paid.
Mm-hmm. What's the theory term for it? Invisible labor, or what is it? Domestic labor? I can't remember. Anyways, yeah, you should get on that tip. And then the other thing is,
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How jealous are you of this person? Did. Because I'm very jealous of them.
Oh, I'm very jealous. She doesn't even cook.
They don't cook.
They don't even cook. They didn't list their pronouns.
I was like, wait, part of this, like, emotional labor you do at home doesn't include cooking? Come on. You got, like, that's got to be a part of it if you're going to be able to, like...
She does... They do baking.
They do bake. They do bake. I would love...
They attempt to bake, is what they said. So they're probably not very good at it.
Honestly, I mostly just make a big mess with flour that the husband cleans up when he gets home.
Yeah.
But it is adorable. Really cute
when there's a little bit of flour on my cheek.
I was about to say the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's their exact question?
How do I deal with people who, like, judge me for this lifestyle?
Honestly, and this is very rarely my advice, it comes from a place of envy, and I think you should just understand that
and
that's going to happen sometimes. People are going to be jealous that you have a rockin' life.
I agree with that 100%. I would be jealous of you, but I do think you have an option, which, like Adrian said, I don't know if this person is conservative or if they've just, through their circumstances, happened to land on a couple of, like, conservative, like, keywords.
That's kind of what I was trying to get at.
And
also,
issues.
At no point did they mention that they had a rockin' bod, which I feel like is point one for being a trophy wife. I feel like she should have mentioned her bust size. Their bust sizes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She, her also seems fair because they do mention that they're a wife. So I think if somebody calls themselves a wife, that sounds...
I'm not gonna... Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, potentially could she, her pronoun. Okay, but anyway, this person could get a job and start calling themselves a social media influencer. It would be so easy for them to, first off, you know, trigger the libs. Second off, get a bunch of conservative men to obsess over you. If you just start making TikToks about your day doting over your husband, that is like definitely a trend. Like, have you seen the latest person that does that? Like the, I mean, there's a lot of trad wives, but there was one who like blew up in popularity last week, where she was just like, you know, doing a TikTok of her day baking cookies for her husband and cleaning up and all that, so, like, and how good her life is because he pays for everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely a lane for you on social media to just take videos of your day to day doting over your husband, and you would you would be an influencer, and you could say that was your job.
I brought in The Simpsons earlier, so it seems like Family Guy is appropriate to bring in now. But that one episode where Chris and Meg are struggling with school and other stuff, and their parents are like, it's not that hard. And so they do the premise where they switch their lives for a while. And Meg turns out to be an amazing housewife or whatever, where she's like cooking amazing meals and like cooking, like cleaning the whole house. And Lois is like, you got the whole house cleaned today? And she's like, yeah, it's a house. It's like a finite amount of area. It's not, I'm not cleaning a town. Like, I really do think I'd be pretty good as a house husband keeping a house clean.
Me too. Especially if I didn't have to cook. Come on. Actually, I'd be upset. I would want the other person to clean so I could cook.
I mean, that would be my preference, but I don't know. I'm also kind of, I feel like I understand that part of my neuroses are that if I don't think someone does a good job cleaning, I have to do it myself. And that's what I accept as the solution to that. Don't just sit and stew and complain about how other people clean. Are there strategies for this person? Should they care that this much about how people feel about their relationship as long as they're comfortable in it?
I mean, I think this is one of those things where maybe you shouldn't be hanging out with rude people so often. Maybe, like, this is an easy tell for who sucks. Like, if as soon as you tell somebody, like, oh, I stay at home, if they're... What did they say that people respond with? They say... It's unequal or misogynistic. I don't know. If anybody said that to me about my life, that I live how I want with my husband, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You suck.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? These people sound horrible.
That's a good point.
Is there something I can say towards such judgment off? And if they're not literally saying it and you're just feeling the judgment, I think we just got to go back to they're jealous.
Yeah. Envious.
They're envious. What you're feeling isn't judgment. It's envy.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not an empath, because they don't sense how envious everybody is. They're sensing the wrong
emotion. If you're experiencing envy, I have the first 40 minutes of a ContraPoints video to recommend to you.
Adrian, get rid of that evil eye. I see you looking at my set of Korra books behind me.
I gave those to you.
Yeah, and you're envious of them.
And you haven't even read them.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm busy reading Theory, which is the Avatar The Last Airbender comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Seems pretty straightforward. Seems pretty simple. You can't control how other people are going to feel about your thing, and maybe it's not worth the energy to try and educate every single person. And then maybe also this is a signal that the people you're hanging out with are annoying. Do you ever think about the fact that, like, I know that some people get a little too annoying about, like, being comfortable in your masculinity or whatever, but, like, if I was given the option to be a house husband or whatever... dude, I would not be self-conscious about that at all. Like, stuff like this would not bother me. Literally, everyone could be like, Adrian, you're just a little trophy husband. I'd be like, yes, sir. It's pretty cool.
Also, I think the thing is, you would have enough intelligence. I think this person, it sounds like, I mean, they said, say I tend to my hobbies, but they don't make that clear. And then they say, I attempt to bake and spend time with my husband. I think a lot of people, when they judge somebody's lifestyle like this, it's they're mostly judging that it kind of sounds lonely. I think you would have enough intelligence as a house husband to, like, you would have your bees, you'd have your backyard bees, you'd be tending to some roosters, you'd have a lot of friends. Like, I don't think if I heard of you as a house husband, I'd be like, oh my God, it sounds so lonely. Like, he's just at the whim of his wife or husband. I would imagine you as really, like, making the most with that freedom.
Oh, I'd get really into inventing things. That'd be my hobby.
You'd be like Shia LaBeouf's dad from Holes.
Yeah. I was thinking more like Stu from Rugrats. But yeah, something like that. All right, you want to read the answer?
Sure. Don't waste any energy on what total strangers think, because no matter what choices you make in life, there will always be someone who strenuously objects to it and is happy to tell you so. I grew up in a conservative part of the country, in a community where some people believe that if women work, it means they don't care about being good mothers to their children, and have been told as someone who has a career and child that I must be prioritizing the former over the latter. And these are people I know. Their opinion simply does not matter. It has no bearing on my decisions, and my decisions are not reflective of how I feel about their choices. That is even doubly true of people I don't know at all. I would suggest you take the same approach if anyone suggests your relationship is unfair because you choose not to work. If you chose what you were doing, there's nothing about it that is unequal, misogynistic, or toxic. Those descriptors are about coercion and a lack of consent, and you and your partner are making a conscious choice to live in a way that makes you happy. I would caution, however, against reading too much into what it means when people ask you what you do. Many assume that people choose work that reflects their interests because it's often true. The question can be a question about
status. No, it's coercive. We're all forced into it due to a capitalist system.
Adrian, debate with pay dirt coming up.
Come on, pod.
Pay dirt, come on, pod. The question can be a question about status or money, but just as often, it's a way of asking what you're interested in enough that you've chosen to spend a big portion of your life doing it. It's an indirect way of asking what makes you tick in a way that, coming from a stranger, might seem a little less invasive or direct. If they just ask bluntly, what are your interests, that might sound a lot more intimate. You should be able to tell from the rest of your conversation which way they mean it, but err on the side of giving people the benefit of the doubt. If, however, it becomes clear that they are judging you based on your capitalistic values, they're doing you a favor by giving you a screening mechanism. They're not people you need to be friends with or whose opinions you should value.
Okay. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm down with that. I can dig it.
No, I thought that was a good answer. I think it hit on the, like, don't jump to assumptions about them necessarily, like, judging you. But if it becomes clear they are judging you, like, it seems like an asshole.
Yeah. Tell them to suck your non-binary dick, you know what I mean?
Come on now.
Are you ready for the third segment?
I am ready for the third segment.
Do you want to introduce this since this is more of your bag?
Sure, yeah. We're doing awards because it's Oscars season and they're... Are they airing right now or are they going to air soon? Either way.
Pretty soon. 3 hours, I think. We're doing snubs and flubs.
What we're going to do is Paul and Adrian are going to talk about some of their favorite films of the year. And then we're going to recongregate tomorrow to see about the general vibes, how we feel right before and right after getting to look at the awards list.
Sounds good to me. We're calling our shot yet again.
We're calling our shots. Let's start with actor in a leading role.
All right. Didn't watch Elvis. Didn't watch Banshees. Did watch The Whale. Didn't watch After Sun. Didn't watch Living. I'm going to go with Brendan Fraser.
They just put After Sun on Mubi. I just saw that tweet, so I'm pretty excited to watch it soon, but haven't seen it yet. I've heard a lot of really good things.
Yeah.
I've seen The Banshees of Inisherin, and I've seen Elvis. Of those two, I would probably give it to Colin Farrell, but... I've heard really good things about Brendan Fraser in The Whale. I need to watch that.
Wait, you didn't watch The Whale?
I haven't watched The Whale.
Oh, damn. It was good.
I think we'll do a mixed pick for Big Facts No Cap, and let's say that's our mixed pick, because I think Colin Farrell was good in The Banshees of Inisherin, but it wasn't like I don't know. I wasn't, like, so wowed by it. I'm like, he's got to win the leading actor in a leading role.
Yeah. Also, so much for progressive nature of the Oscars. There's no women in this list. The other thing I was going to say is that the only thing that I've seen from Austin Butler, because I've never watched any of his movies, is I watched his Hot Ones, and he did come off as a very well-studied, very actor, very charming boy. So if he won it, I wouldn't be mad about it, even though I've heard the movie's not good. Watching him make a peanut butter jelly sandwich for himself was pretty cute on Hot Ones.
Actor in a supporting role. I've seen, we have Brendan Gleeson in The Banshees of Inisherin.
I'm obviously going for Wayman.
Yeah, we have Judd Hirsch in The Fablemans, Barry Keoghan in The Banshees of Inisherin, and Ke-Huy Quan in Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I think we're both on the same page. Ke-Huy Quan?
Actually, I didn't know Brian Tyree Henry was up for an Oscar. I kind of want him to win. I'm a huge fan of his work in Atlanta. I don't know what Causeway is, though.
Yeah.
So I guess I can't, in good faith,
I haven't seen that movie, but you're right. He does rock. But come on. You saw those great speeches Kay was giving.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't like watching people cry, and he's going to cry if he wins. But, all right, yeah, we'll give it to him. Actress in a leading role? Cate Blanchett, Ana de Armas, Andrea Riseborough, Michelle Williams, and Michelle Yeoh.
I would be happy for Michelle Yeoh or Cate Blanchett to win.
Yeah, I think I agree. I haven't watched Tar, but I've heard the stuff.
Michelle Williams was fine in The Fablemans. Didn't really have
was she the cheating mama?
Yeah, she was the cheating mama.
Well, I can't condone that behavior, so.
Even an actress shouldn't pretend to cheat. It was exactly. Seth Rogen, of all people.
Wait, really? In The Fablemans?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Actress in a supporting role.
Yeah, we have Angela Bassett from Black Panther, the sequel. We have Hong Chau from The Whale. Carrie Condon from The Banshees of... You have corrected me on how to pronounce this? Inisherin? No. Inisherin?
Have I corrected you? I'm not sure. I've heard other people say Inisherin, so I've just been saying it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Jamie Lee Curtis in EEOAO and Stephanie Sue in the same movie.
Is Stephanie Sue the daughter?
Yeah. I didn't watch Black Panther, but I heard that Angela Bassett is basically in 15 minutes of the movie, and part of it is just like an Oscar Beatty speech. So I'm kind of fundamentally against that.
Honestly, I really like Carrie Condon's role in the Banshees of Inisherin because, like, Colin Farrell was fine. Like, the two leading males were really good, like they always are in those, what's his name, like Michael McDough plays, McDonough plays. But she really killed it as, like, the loneliest, most tragic sister of all time.
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis kind of just did the Jamie Lee Curtis thing. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, at certain points, it felt like I was just watching an Activia commercial.
I thought I was watching Glee again.
Is that her in that? I thought that was...
Oh, wait, that's that other old lady.
That's Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
I'm going to go with Hong Chau in The Whale. I liked her role a lot.
Fair enough. If I'd seen The Whale, maybe that'd be there.
Yeah.
Okay, Adrian, I think the next one you've already talked about, and you're going to keep it at... Oh, wait, this is animated feature. No,
these aren't shorts. Yeah, these are feature films.
Oh.
And I haven't watched any of these, so I'm gonna abstain.
I've only seen Puss in Boots: Last Wish, so that's what I'm.
Which I heard was
for.
Really good.
It was really good.
I've heard people are not gonna be mad if that one wins. I think Marcel Lachelle also has a big indie push, but
you know what? That movie gave Izzy motion sickness, so she had to leave the theater. So for that reason alone,
really?
Get it out of here.
All right, get it out of here. Get it the fuck out of here. Do we care about cinematography?
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
No. Cinematography, All Quiet on the Western Front, Bardo, Elvis, Empire of Light, and Tar. So some different nominees on this one.
I haven't seen a lot of these. I've only seen Tar, Elvis, and All Quiet.
I mean, that's most.
I guess Tar is the one I would give it to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about the rest. I'm not... that committed to giving it to Tar either, so.
I mean, I will also say that it's, like, well famously documented that, like, even the people voting on this don't watch every movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we're allowed to do that. Do we want to go through costume design?
there's Babylon, Black Panther, Elvis, Everything Everywhere, and Miss Harris Goes to Paris. And I think Everything Everywhere definitely deserves this one. They had by far the craziest, coolest costumes.
All right, directing, that's a big one.
Martin McDonagh for the Banshees, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, famously known as the Daniels for Everything Everywhere. Steven Spielberg for Fablemans, Todd Field for Tar, and Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. I've seen all of these, and I really couldn't be upset at any of them winning.
Really? You wouldn't be upset about Everything Everywhere?
I wouldn't be upset. For directing, it was well directed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writing was really what I took, like, what really bumped it down.
Okay, all right. And the lack of white people.
Adrian, why do you do this, man?
Hmm?
Why are you such a woke scold when I'm just trying to share my real opinion on things?
All right, all right. Let's wait till we get to Best Picture. So wait, do you have a pick for this one?
I mean, I really like The Banshees of Inisherin. I don't know if I consider it, like, particularly well-directed.
What was that movie about?
One guy who doesn't want to be friends with another guy on a small island off Ireland.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and he tells him, I don't want to be your friend anymore, and it's the other guy refusing to accept that.
I don't know why I assumed it was a way more dramatic movie.
I think Tar probably deserves this.
All right.
Maybe Triangle of Sadness. Tar or Triangle of Sadness probably deserve this.
You did sing the praises of that one. I didn't watch any of the documentaries, so I can't do anything with that one.
Me either.
You didn't watch Fire of Love?
What, is that one another Fire Island documentary?
No, it's like the people who say volcanoes.
Oh, no, but Izzy watched that one.
Oh, okay. And?
She said
she got motion sickness?
That she watched it at the same theater where she watched Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, and it is an art house theater, and apparently everybody thought it was a much more artistic film than it was, and it turned out they just had it pulled the projector down all the way, so they were missing half the...
You told me about that.
She was like, yeah, I thought it was like you weren't really supposed to understand what was going on. Like, there was a lot left unsaid. It just turned out they didn't have half the translation.
That's funny.
For that reason alone, let's give it up for Fire of Love.
All right, Fire of Love.
Looked really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You want to skip down to editing?
I don't know if I pay attention to editing in a film that much unless it's egregious. Banshees, Elvis, Everywhere, Tar, Top Gun.
Yeah, and we're both really big fans of this one YouTuber, YMS, and he hated the editing in Elvis, and I could not disagree more. Despite being a very big fan of YMS, I thought the beginning of that movie with its fast-paced editing was delightful. It was so silly. It was over the top. It was so fun. I loved it. I would love to see Elvis win for editing.
Not to stack the deck in its favor, but is it kind of like the beginning of Scott Pilgrim?
Not completely the same, but yes, in that it's like really quick and you kind of feel like you're falling through the scenes. Like one thing happens and then bam, the other thing is happening and it like doesn't really bother to wait for you to
catch up. All right, that works for me. Also, it's crazy to me that I'm sure this isn't true that there's one person who's editing these films. Two people for Elvis.
I assume it's the same as like cinematography where the head person, right? But like there's tons of people working on cinematography. International feature film, we have All Quiet, EO, The Quiet Girl, Argentina 1985, and Close.
I'm gonna root for Where My Brother Lives Currently and root for Close.
Same. I've only seen one of these movies and I didn't
like
it.
Is it not one of those things where it's guaranteed that if you got nominated for both Best and International, that you should win International?
Kind of feels that way,
Or are they
way,
just
right?
going to admit that? Yeah. all right, anyways.
Do we want to skip makeup and hairstyling, or are we interested?
Makeup and hairstyling, I would probably give it to The Whale. I think that's kind of all I have to say about that one. I mean, it seems pretty obvious.
I was going to say, I'm surprised EO didn't get, or not EO, sorry, Everything Everywhere didn't get this just for the crazy hair that the daughter had throughout. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, right? I mean, I haven't seen the film, but I've seen Brendan Fraser what like. And what he looks like, and it does look crazy what they did with him. Music. I'll say this is one, unlike the other one where we talked about Elvis, I do agree with YMS. The All Quiet on the Western Front soundtrack was egregious.
What was it like?
So annoying. Like there was like this droning sound, like would play throughout the movie. But like, there's like movies that can pull it off. But yeah, it was not used well in All Quiet. Otherwise, I don't really have opinions.
I mean, John Williams, come on.
Best Picture. Okay, I think we know which ones are here, but I'll state them again. All Quiet, Avatar, Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere, Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite, Tar. That's what I would like to see take it.
Okay.
I would be happy with basically anything other than All Quiet winning. I would think, okay, you know, I can see the way and reason that won, and I would be happy to see anything else take it.
You know, I've rounded back around. You know, I think just because it means that I'm going to be right, I'm going for Everything Everywhere.
Yeah, okay, so Tar is what I want to see win it. I think Everything Everywhere kind of has this locked.
I don't want to see Avatar. I'm sorry I'm an Avatar hater, but I don't want to see that win.
But it's such a big film, man. You don't like that it's just a big film?
No, not really.
You don't like that we just all came together as a society and said, come on, let's do it one more time. Let's do it big.
We need to do this one more time just to show that we can.
Let's do it crazy, man. We're doing this one big.
Honestly, I think Avatar The Way of Water is American propaganda that's just meant to uphold U.S. hegemony.
I mean, that's how I felt about Top Gun Maverick, but it was so damn fun that I couldn't be too upset about it. I thought it was better than the original, to be honest with you.
I've never watched Top Gun. I didn't even watch the original.
Oh.
I have ridden the ride at Carowinds. That one's really good.
Well, if you were putting that ride up against these movies.
Ooh, that is a good ride. I'm going to go with the ride, Top Gun.
I think I like the Fablemans. That was another one I disagreed with YMS. I like the Fablemans for maybe my own very specific reasons. Like, I could see why it would annoy somebody, but I thought it was a very fun movie in its own way.
You didn't consider it masturbatory?
It was so masturbatory. The whole thing was like somebody just being like, look at me, a genius, crafted and honed by my tragic circumstances.
Forged in the fires of depression.
Forged in the fires of a artsy mom and a nerd dad.
What was his dad?
Like, he has his own Wikipedia page. He's apparently pretty famous in like early computing.
Oh, so he's like a Jeff Foxworthy type dude.
Yeah, yeah, except I think his dad was way more pertinent than Jeff Foxworthy's dad.
Jeff Foxworthy's dad has a Wikipedia page.
Oh, I wonder if the producer Tony Kushner for The Fablemans is part of the Kushner family.
Oh, it all comes back around. All right, I'm going to skip production design. I don't know if you have strong opinions about that.
No.
Short film animated. I've already said this before.
Wait, how does Avatar The Way of the Water? Maybe I just don't understand what counts as production, but like, how can something with so much CGI get it for production design?
You know, I don't know either. Yeah, to be honest. Set decoration? So people who put the tennis balls on the sticks?
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like, right?
Short film animated. All right, this is where Adrian shines, baby. I've already said it before on the pod. Ice Climbers or My Year of Dicks. Please don't let the UK one win. That one sucked. Did you watch YMS's review of that one?
Of the short films? No.
No, okay, yeah, so he, like, literally, like, Marshall's points that I brought up, he says verbatim, like, it sounds like an AI wrote the script, it's all just, like, Hallmark quotes that are supposed to make you feel good, none of it makes any goddamn sense, yeah, I just really hope that one doesn't win. Okay, I didn't watch the live-action short films.
Don't really care about sound. I don't have much to say.
Visual effects.
I guess maybe Top Gun Maverick could get it for sound just because there's a lot of pew, 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 booms.
Danger zone.
I mean, come on now.
How did you feel about the visual effects in Top Gun?
You know, there was one part with a helicopter shooting at Tom Cruise that I thought looked really stupid and fake. But otherwise, it was really good. But I think all of Avatar looked incredible, so I'd have to give it up to Avatar.
I mean, it was made for that one, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Oh, so this has a movie that hasn't been talked about yet. So let's do writing adapted screenplay. We have All Quiet, Glass Onion, mm-hmm. which I loved, Living, Top Gun, and Women Talking. Wait, so is this suggesting that Rian Johnson wrote it as a book and it got adapted to a screenplay, or?
I mean, okay, let me see. Screenplay adapted from previously established material. So maybe it just means the universe had to be established.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, I don't know. Might just count naturally.
I'm going to go with Living, just for fun.
To be honest with you, I'd probably want this to go to Women Talking just because it's screenplay. And I thought, like, the writing was really good in that movie.
Even though it fails the Bechdel test?
Even though Figures. It fails the Bechdel test. They're talking about
Your
men the whole time.
Your life fails the Bechdel test, Paul.
Well, I'm a man. It would be really hard for it not to.
All right. And then original screenplay. Last one. Banshees, Everywhere, Fableman's Tar, Triangle of Sadness. You had a high praise for Triangle of Sadness.
I did, but I think the field it sits in, it keeps showing up with things where Tar is there. And so, like,
it's living in the shadow of Tar.
I mean, the writing in Tar is kind of like, have you ever watched, like, a movie with a lot of really fun techno babble?
Mm-hmm.
Tar is, like, the cultural version of that. Like, I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, but she's, like, talking about all these directors and musical things where, like, it could all be nonsense for all I know, but it's just really fun to hear.
Mm.
Banshees had, was a pretty
good
screenplay.
When I composed that thing, that chord progression, I used a diminished minor when I should have used a diminished major.
Should we give it to Everything Everywhere? Because they're set to sweep based on everybody's opinion, and we just don't want to be wrong. And plus, you love that movie.
But you hate the writing, and I also kind of agree with your critiques of the writing, you know, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, I didn't know that Seth Rogen was written into The Fablemans to fuck his mom, so that's kind of cool.
All right. I think that would be casting or acting, technically, but let's give it up to
The
Fablemans.
No, he wrote it in the script. A Seth Rogen type gives my mom the D.
All right, we're giving that one up to The Fablemans.
All right, thank you, Tony Kushner. And there you go. That's Big Facts No Cap. We're going to record, maybe we'll like top it out at like 10 minutes, just a little reaction to how we did. At the top of the page, there's a timeline, Paul. Do you want to go through all of the other previous years?
Every year. All right, let's start in the 1920s. Train driving towards the screen. Took it all. Hey, let's get into it, though. We're re-rounding up how wrong, or right. Not how wrong I was. I think I saw this coming, but we're rounding up our predictions versus the reality of the Oscars that happened last
year. Yeah,
night.
Yeah. You were watching live, it seemed like?
No, I was just seeing tweets as I was scrolling through my phone in bed.
I see.
It seemed like you were watching live, though. You were texting me as things were happening.
I didn't have a way to watch it, so I just listened to the reaction from YMS's stream to try and figure out what was going on. You're not sad that you missed Malala's funny-ass joke?
Wasn't it just like Jimmy Kimmel came up and slapped her?
All right, let's round it up. I guess we already mentioned this, but yeah, we're not reacting to the things as if we haven't seen them already.
Yes, we did that. Pre-look.
Yeah.
All right. Actor in a leading role. Adrian, this is a movie you saw and I didn't. What do you think? Brendan Fraser.
Very happy about it. Obviously, yeah, obviously there's all the discourse around it. I'm happy for my boy. I think we all are.
There's discourse around it? Like, that he was deserving or undeserving? What was the discourse?
Yeah, people just wanted him to win it because, you know, he kind of had to have a comeback into acting and he was afraid of coming back into acting because he didn't look like he did from his mummy days and it'd been a while. So, I don't know. You know, when he comes back with the whale, and then, you know, there was an ovation for it when it first premiered and there's videos of him crying and people were like, oh man, he deserves an Oscar for that one, man.
Oh, for crying at the premiere? He was acting? He wasn't actually happy?
No. You just took that in the most cynical way possible because that's who you are as a person.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people are happy with it. I think that was a good choice. Oh, that was the other discourse part of it, too, was that whoever played Elvis was trying to, like, drum up a campaign for Best Actor by being like, playing Elvis permanently changed the way that I spoke because I was so in character. Like, I haven't been able to, like, knock off the mannerisms or whatever.
Actor in a supporting role.
Talking like Johnny Bravo.
Hey, No surprise here. Actor in a supporting role went to the fan favorite and now the Academy favorite, Ke-Huy Quan.
Yeah, that was one where I was like, I know he's going to cry during the speech, so I don't want him to win because it's going to make me cry. And all that happened.
He did go over a lot of the stuff he'd done at the Lesser Awards, which was like talking about... He hit the same thematic points about feeling ignored by Hollywood and this being his redemption.
Yeah, his was more of like, this is the American dream, is coming from communist Vietnam to America to become a movie star.
Be a movie star.
Be a big deal in Hollywood. He was like, Mom, look, I made it, Mama. Mama,
they
I made it.
They weren't even inviting me to the parties where we sacrifice babies and drink their blood for the adrenochrome anymore. Thank God I got this one.
I'm back, baby. I'm going to live forever.
I'm back, baby. The Clintons put me back into the inner circle, to the top.
I'm back on the Lolita Express, baby.
I'm joking. He's still not invited
I'm
to
joking,
those parties.
I'm joking. Allegedly.
Actress in a leading role. Another one where everybody's happy to see it. Michelle Yeoh. I mean, I said I'd be happy to see a lot of these people win. Except for, I didn't think Michelle Williams in The Fabelmans was that great. But not great. Like, whatever. Not that I'm, like, poo-pooing her role there, but I wasn't, like, wowed. But yeah.
I also feel really stupid, but I feel like it's kind of like, I was dumb because of how dumb it was. It took me a while to realize Fabelmans as a name to choose for someone who's going to go on to become a director / storyteller. And it's literally so dumb that my brain didn't even process it until I heard it said by Jimmy Kimmel.
The character that I've come up for myself is John Story Guy.
This character is a real like kind of like everyday guy. His name is Avery Mann.
we're gonna call him George Camera Point.
That's literally how stupid it was and why my brain didn't process it. So I'm glad it didn't win anything. Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion about that one. It's kind of, you know, I was rooting for her less and less after she did that tweet about, like, Cate Blanchett already has 2 Oscars. I deserve one.
That is a funny way to look at it. I don't think that's how awards work. Like, you don't give them to the same person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see what you're talking about, but if she wasn't being gracious, then me and you, let's go to Hollywood and beat her up. We can't because she's a kung fu star.
Oh, that is true. She'd kick our ass. Our collective
That's
ass.
That's actually how they should give it out to people. I think because she could beat up Cate Blanchett, she should get it.
That's true. And Mrs. Fableman.
Actress in a supporting role went to Jamie Lee Curtis.
This one's ridiculous.
She was not that good in this movie. Look, I got her mixed up with Jamie.
It wasn't
Lynch.
Even that important of a role. That's true. That's how forgettable she was. That's how much she melted into the role. Yeah, I think that one's dumb. I would have preferred to see it go to the, oh god, what's her name? I'm not looking at the list. The one who played the daughter.
After, like, the opening scene, her character basically, like, stops acting. Like, she becomes, like, a joke
a romantic
piece.
Interest.
Like, yeah, but when they're showing you the romantic interest stuff, it's not like they're having these deep conversations. Like, it's the hot dog fingers joke. Like, they're standing there, like, looking longingly. Mm-hmm. It's, like, barely acting after that. It becomes, like, what would you call it? Like, vignettes of her and Michelle Yeoh's character spending time together.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense to me is some people have basically said that, like, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award where she should have gotten one previously in her career, and she doesn't. No one knows if she's going to have another movie that's Oscar-worthy, so that's why they gave it to her, but I don't know. I know a lot of people were saying
Hong Chow from The Whale should have won it, and I would have been really happy to see Carrie Condon from The Banshees of Inisherin win it. So, like, I don't know. I thought there was some good options there. I didn't see Black Panther. Sure, she did great there.
Yeah,
Stephanie Hsu.
Oh, I wonder why that was the one that you didn't watch.
Care to share some ideas with the audience
about what? Sorry, you're lagging. I can't tell what you're saying.
All right, animated feature film went to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. I know people are upset with that because they said it didn't deserve it. So, I mean, that's all I know about that.
I'm just not a fan of Pinocchio. It was never one of my favorite movies as a kid. Don't even know if I can say that I watched it all the way through.
Oh, really? I was one of those kids. Yeah. I think a lot of people have this story where I was a little bit freaked out by it, the like whale scene and stuff.
The transformation scene.
Honestly, that does get a lot of people. I was more freaked out by the concept of being swallowed by the whale. It's also why I didn't.
Oh,
I've
got a story from the Bible. You shouldn't read that.
Okay, we both went there. Cinematography went to. Oh yeah. Okay, so here's the first All Quiet win, which it did very well.
That was a weird sweep.
Yeah, and yeah. I yesterday came out strong on I don't think it deserved that much praise, and I think I'm still sticking with that opinion. It's an odd one to like kill that much, in my opinion. Well, it's not an odd one because yeah. I guess the Oscars have always loved war movies and serious movies about like the evils of war, but like, man, I thought if there was like ever going to be one that just clearly wasn't up to par, this would be the one that didn't just win on the like concept of being a war film.
Yeah, I mean, did they even have a cool gimmick? Was it like all one shot or anything like that?
Oh, you were thinking it was like, what was it, 1917? Was that the one that was all one shot?
Dunkirk? I don't know. They're all the same to me.
I could, like, cinematography could have gone to Tar. Come on. Like, you could have given Tar something. But it is how it is.
Oh, yeah. They came out with zero goose egged at the end of the night.
Costume design went to Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Didn't see it. I'm sure they had good costumes. Yeah.
Oh, that was one thing that, a little stat that I saw, if you want to do our little stats. Everything Everywhere. Oh, well, I guess I don't want to spoil it. Yeah, it's already spoiled. This is going to be in 2 weeks. Everything Everywhere All at Once, first movie to win Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor. So first time that a movie swept all three.
Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor.
Not Best Actor, there was no main actor.
Yeah. Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Supporting Actor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That does seem like a very specific combination. I can see it being true.
Oh, what, are you going to get on me like being a sports guy who's like, you know, this is actually Ricky Johnson's first time conceding a goal away from home during a December month?
I wasn't, but I think maybe like knowing that that was in your head, maybe you had that critique of yourself directing.
Ooh.
I think, do you think it's insulting to give best director to a directing team?
Yeah, there's precedent for that.
Yeah, no, I just think it's funny. They both get half the award. What, do they split it in half? What, does it spend every other weekend at Daniel Kwan's house and all the Jewish holiday at Daniel Scheinhardt's house?
You know, they're old, so I assume they have their own families. I just assume they were like two dudes who are still roommates or something. I assume they could just keep it in the living room.
Their girlfriends are like, you guys are millionaires now. Can you stop living together? They're like, no. No. We're best friends, and we come up with all our best ideas when we're talking right before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the same room, and they have two twin beds in there.
They still have the same room. They have their little lofted beds so their desks can go underneath. That's how I like to envision it.
Everything did great in the Oscars. Another one that they won. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. Come on now, they were dedicated to some practical effects and stuff. That's like, you know, cool directing and, you know, the movies. Wait, I guess I'm praising the effects and the editing. I don't know what to say about the directing in particular, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really have a, like, strong opinion on this. I guess directing feels so holistic. It's like, how different is that than,
yeah.
than Best Picture? But,
that's kind of what I was saying. But that means now they both have two, they each have one word that they can kind of swap around.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. That's how they get to do it. One person gets best director, one person gets best picture.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary, we both didn't see those. Documentary short films. Film editing went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. It sure did have...
It's got a lot of cuts.
The jumps, I guess, were all cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the editing played into that movie. I'm not upset with that. International feature film, another win for All Quiet. Makeup mm-hmm. and hairstyling, nobody surprised the whale. I think it's what everybody kind of mm-hmm. thought it would go to.
Yeah.
Music. Okay.
Not mad at that at all.
This is one that we specifically mentioned, or I specifically mentioned, I agreed with YMS that it shouldn't go to All Quiet, and it 100% went to All Quiet. I feel like I'm going to clip that sound into this. So it doesn't fit at all. Like, it feels like something that should be in an art house horror film, not a sound that they should be playing throughout this film. It's weird.
Yeah.
Best picture, baby. Come on.
Come on.
How happy were you? How happy were you, Adrian?
I was pretty happy. Pierce texted me. He was like, no spoilies, but they just announced it. And I was like, all the spoilies, baby. We're on top. Yeah, we were happy. You know, Marshall actually has just recently watched Everything Everywhere All at Once. And he texted me something about how he had some critiques of it, but he was happy that it won Best Picture. So he was also, Marshall's also on Everything Everywhere All at Once, gang. I was a little annoyed by how much telling they had to do instead of showing. But in new concept movies, that often happens.
Interesting.
I think he's talking about the jumping dynamic.
Oh, like with what happened in the past that led up to it? I felt like that was kind
of
part of
the idea. No, I think when like literally explaining the science behind multiverses and how you can jump and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but it was kind of a hand-wavy one. I think they were trying to tell you, like, just think of it as magic. Like, that's not the point here.
Yeah. Okay. Defending Everything Everywhere All at Once, I see.
I don't know. That's not my issue with it. Was it that it wasn't held up on the wrong foundation of scientific rigor? That would be a very funny issue to take with it.
You're not thinking
just
about this.
Doesn't
like
happen to be mine. Just doesn't happen to be my issue with it.
I think most people are happy with this one, and most people predicted it.
Yeah, I think that was our prediction. What we said yesterday,
as the website I was updating for results said, a huge win for Asian representation in American cinema. Paul, do you have anything to say about that?
I'm happy for Asian representation in American cinema. I think it's their year.
why are you looking off to the side like that?
There's an Asian man with a gun pointed at me.
Why did you slowly raise your hands to show that your fingers were crossed when you were saying that? All right, what's the next
production
one?
Production design. All Quiet on the Western Front. Oh my god.
Yeah, like we said yesterday, I really don't know what that means. So, yeah.
Oh wait, yeah. Short film animated. Adrian, take it away.
I mean, yeah, at this point, I only have two data points, but I'm going to say it. Pick the worst one, and that should be your guess, because the Academy is fucking stupid. Really just a horrible, horrible movie. I mean, it did look good, so yeah, if that's what you're basing it on, but like, just in terms of... Idris Elba was the fox, I didn't know that, that's kind of cool. But no, yeah, really disappointed with that one.
I was going to say, do you think it's a case of most people who voted on this didn't even see it, and they didn't even see any of them, and they just Googled the list of actors and were like... Okay, this one seems like it should be the one that wins.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Pick the one that was the most for children. I don't even know what they think of animation as a medium.
Sound went to Top Gun Maverick. I think I said that yesterday. I guess it would kind of make sense. I feel like they were going to give it to that or All Quiet because they're war movies with guns and stuff. So a lot goes into sounds, lot of boom, boom, pow, pows.
They did a real good job of the doot, 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 doot.
Yeah, I was like, that helicopter does not sound right at all. yuck. Like, school book, get out of
there.
You
should get hired as Foley artists.
Yeah, well, like, if it went to Elvis, what, like, his high-heeled shoes making click sounds?
Ooh, hubba, hubba,
like,
baby.
Click-clack sounds. They got his late career deep inhales because he was too tired to walk around stage perfectly, right?
The sound of the squish from his peanut butter and bacon sandwiches.
Visual effects went to Avatar Way of the Water. That felt like the gimme.
I mean, that's what it was made for. Yeah.
Yeah. Writing went to Women Talking. I think that was that was a good pick for adapted screenplay. And I think of all the ones there, I'm happiest to see it go there. Good pick. Good pick, Oscars. All
right.
Writing for original screenplay went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. Round out their 7 Oscar wins.
Paul, how do you feel about holding this L?
I honestly think the writing was so bad. This is such a... I think the Oscars took an L for clearly just going with a trend here.
Who did you have winning that one? I forgot what the other nominees were.
There was Banshees, Fableman, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness. And I think I said I want Tar to win.
As long as it didn't go to Fableman.
The Fablemans.
Yeah. Now that I've expressed my disgust with that movie. All right. And then is there one more? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Maybe we should have kept a written record so we could do a tally of who was right more often. But I think we both did pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think everybody knew everything was going to do really well at the Oscars, and it did.
All Quiet had a weirdly good
All
run.
Quiet was a little bit of a dark horse. I did not expect it to do that well, because they just wasn't getting that sort of buzz mixed with the fact that I didn't really think it was particularly good. And bam, it just came out of nowhere.
I did kind of expect that. I got a four-year consideration package from them. It had some gifts for me, and I was like, ooh. It had some German snackies.
It had a little Easter bunny, but instead of in the shape of a bunny, it was in the shape of a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the chocolate barrel first. Tin, stop me, I'm gonna do it. Nah, it's just chocolate.
I'm just kidding. Honestly, kind of the same thing for a diabetic. I'm joking. We can eat chocolate. I don't want to perpetuate bad stereotypes.
In fact, we love chocolate. Ack!
Ack!
Alright, big fact. Hey, if you're upset at me for my opinions about EEAAO, remember, it's a film about kindness. You have to be nice to me, legally.
That's such a cool take. My no cap is... every movie that was nominated gets the Adrian Award for being great, and I think that's the greatest award anyone can
receive. Honestly, let's give it up for movies, y'all. Everybody tried their hardest here.
Yeah.